Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hell or High Rollers is an adventure set in D&D Hell, so will almost certainly contain adult content. Enjoy!
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of Hell or High Rollers!
Yeah!
My name is Dave, and I am your GM. Ooh. And that stands for glad to be here. I couldn't think of anything
nice.
For M, I panicked.
Let's go around the circle.
Commit.
Well, start.
Creative, yeah. Very powerful start.
Yeah.
So, Ellie, let's start with you. Save me from this hole.
Hi, I'm Ellie, and I play Ghoul, who is a 5-inch-tall campestri from the James Woods, traveling through hell with his best buds.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go back to give you a little word from Ghoul's dictionary, which he has been compiling over his time in hell. And the word for today is laboggan. And that means it's the time between appointments where you don't have enough time to go home and you don't have enough time to do anything useful.
Oh, mate, yes.
So you can get stuck in a laboggan.
It's a very good word.
That's a really good word.
Yeah.
Good word.
Let me ask you a question. When you came up with this, did you come up with the word first or did you come up with what it means first?
I came up with it. Let's just be very clear about that. But we were... Henry...
Cat's out of the bag. I came up with the concept.
You did... Okay, here we go. You said there should be a word for this because we were in one of those. And then I said, it's a laboggan.
And you're taking the credit for most of the heavy lifting there.
I think,
a noise.
I think the laboggan is the key here. It encompasses so much.
Yeah, I'm with you, Eddie.
The feeling is in the laboggan. Anyway.
Yeah, it was the appointment.
Thanks for coming to that appointment with me.
You didn't do anything.
It was a great appointment. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All I did was conceptualize the whole thing.
No.
Can't copyright concept. That's...
No.
That's true.
What would be the word for if you could copyright a concept?
A Zaub battle traub.
There you go, folks. Zaub battle traub.
Zaub battle traub.
That's very good.
Germanic word, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Teutonic.
Totally.
Those Germans copywriting their concepts.
There you go. That's me.
Hello, my name is Chris Leask, and I play the character of Glubrick Bumbledung, who is a barbarian Goliath. And Glubrick unintentionally invented the smash burger.
Oh,
wow.
Did he smash a burger?
He just punched it too hard when it was on the griddle.
Oh.
Nice. He also invented smash cake.
Yeah.
Wait, save your facts, man. We got more episodes.
I can't do just the smash theme.
I think you can. Weeks.
Did he invent Super Smash Brothers by smashing some brothers?
The 90s popular band Smash Mouth.
Smashing pumpkins.
Yeah, smashing pumpkins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's invented them all.
Yeah.
The smash hits, that term.
Did he receive any, has he ever received any royalties?
Absolutely not. He doesn't need it because he knows that he invented it.
I'd take the royalties.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's doing it wrong.
No, well, yeah, definitely. No, better to take royalties than know you've done something.
He's rich in integrity.
Absolutely. Also, he's a very rich guy.
Yeah.
Did Glubrick write 4/5 of the hit TV show MASH?
Very good. He did indeed. Yeah,
that is a very good guy.
That was a very good one.
Wow.
All right, like, get me out of here, Adam. Go.
And it began with an M.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Adam Megiddo, and I play the role of Eric Sanguinius, the human necromancer who lives alone in the high-vis tower in the Rodney Marsh. We've been discussing Eric's medical conditions. He's got a fear of youths, a fear of family trees. He has flat hand syndrome and an enlarged pomposity gland.
Mm-hmm.
He is afraid of developing a condition. We're all familiar with the very challenging condition of narcolepsy. Sometimes Eric is convinced that he has necrolepsy, in which he just repeatedly dies.
Oh, wow.
He's convinced he has this condition, and waking up in hell has not helped him with it.
Oh my God.
So he thinks maybe this, it might all, he'll wake up and he'll be back on Faerun.
Yeah. Well, he just thinks, oh, what if I die again?
Oh,
so he thinks he's died before. Based on what evidence?
I don't think he's thought it through.
Just paranoia.
He's a paranoid man. He's been alone in that tower too long with only the dead for company. And so he thinks maybe I'm one of them.
Well, now he's got Paul.
He's got Paul as a young acolyte.
And but maybe, young? How young? No, Paul is old.
I think he's probably, I'd say, maximum 60. Right.
Okay.
I don't think he's that old, you know what I mean?
Maybe he appeared old because he was cold. He was like hunched
over. Old and cold.
It's the youth of old age.
Hello, I'm Henry Shields, and I play Henley Whispers, a.k.a. Brodo Swaggins.
Brodo.
Yeah. It was confusing.
Brodo Swaggins. Very good one.
Human Ranger, Eldritch Blaster, Surreptitious Podcaster.
Nice.
Henley has been podcasting this entire time.
What he does is
he casts a spell called Magic Mouth, which is a D&D spell. You can speak into an object and it will record your message and then it will play it back at a later time. So he's been leaving podcasts in rocks and things the whole way.
What?
He has a podcast that it's called Whispers on the Air.
Of course it is.
Yeah. It's a clever name, if you really think about it.
It's how many listeners is
mediocre.
Does he have?
Like on the air, like, you know, like broadcasting
on the air. Okay, I'm mediocre.
See? Yeah.
It's great. I didn't understand.
I know. So he's been doing this for a while, just leaving his thoughts and sometimes interviewing, you know, the creatures that they've left behind or...
Why hasn't he interviewed any of the Happy Boys?
Because it's surreptitious. And the really sad...
That's so true. God damn it.
And the really sad thing about it is that the spell Magic Mouth can only be cast by bards and wizards. So he actually hasn't been doing that at all. He thinks he has. He's just been talking to rocks.
Henry Shields just got out of a ton of Patreon extra stuff. Yeah. Games Master. All right, let's begin the next episode of Hell or High Rollers. Right, we last left the Happy Boys when you were being escorted to your quarters in Lady Sub-Zero's palace. You were being escorted by Holdsworth, who is Lady Sub-Zero's head butler, I guess you'd call them. You guys are currently in disguise as Viscount Sebastian Blackwood. Now, there was some confusion in the last episode about his name. It is Blackwood, not Blackwater.
It's not like the Happy Boys to get confused.
No, I want to just be clear. I want the players to be clear. Happy Boys can be as confused as
Blackwood.
Blackwood. So, yeah, currently Henley is disguised as Sebastian Blackwood and the rest of you are disguised as emotional support therapists.
And a dog.
Yeah. But you're still a therapist, right?
Yeah, he's a therapist dog.
Therapist dog, emotional support mushroom, are the two therapists.
Two therapists.
And you've got Paul with you as well, who's sort of along for the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor Paul.
He's here. So you head to your quarters and you've got luxury quarters. You've all got a bed.
All in the same room.
Yeah.
Oh, sleeper.
The chest of weapons where you deposit all your weapons has been put in the room. Holdsworth gestures to this very, very grand, beautiful room. And he says, "You may rest here for the evening. And I would ask you not to arm yourselves whilst you are in the palace."
Thank you, Holdsworth. Have you my towel?
Yes, of course, sir. And he hands you a very nice... Three tog. Yeah, like a deep pile.
What does that mean?
That's very, because the tog rating is like duvets.
Yeah. Winter duvet is about 15 tog.
He's handed me a thin duvet.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very, very nice towel.
Thank you, Holdsworth. Well, I strip from the waist down. And I wrap a towel around myself, and I finally breathe a sigh of relief.
Nice. So you're no longer wearing the Yeti shorts.
Yeah, no, I take them off.
And do you give Holdsworth back his trousers?
Yes, I think so.
Holdsworth is just like, "Thank you, sir."
You're welcome.
"I will wake you in the morning. Good night." And he takes a deep bow and exits.
Well, it appears that we will get a good night's rest at last. And in the morning, perhaps we may make good on our plan to bring these devils together. What is it that we must persuade Lady Susan of again?
She's got to fall in love or something?
Well, Lady Susan wants to fall in love. She's asked us to help her find love, which if we are able to manage, she will then help us with the portal.
Glubrick, didn't you once run a dating show?
Yes.
Yes, I thought you did. What was your level of success?
I found love.
You found love?
Well, I found love for other people, yeah.
Glubrick, how would you get two people to fall in love?
Yes. A lot of pressure. a lot of you external pressure.
Smashing their hearts together.
Yeah, no, I'd stick on some smoushmath.
Glubrick, go to bed. Okay.
Sorry, I'm so tired. I collapse to the floor.
Good.
Yeah, you could all have a long rest if you like.
We haven't slept in conditions this good for a long time.
Indeed. Well, we can finally actually rest and we're safe and we can perhaps recuperate a little and catch up on what's been going on.
I take out the fire extinguisher and I'm just going to spray it around. I just want to make sure we're not being watched or observed.
Ooh, oh, spray it around the room.
Yeah,
nice. I'm going to say this is going to be your last use of the fire extinguisher.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. Oh,
should we use it? We'll save it.
Maybe save. I think they trust us.
Let's save it.
It feels like.
Yeah, they must trust us because they've left the weapons in the room with us. Like, and they just asked us not to use them.
Yeah.
But let's all investigate the room to make sure we're not being watched or we're not being investigated.
Okay. Natural 20 from Henry.
Wow. You investigate the room and you find it to be totally, totally safe.
Of course they don't suspect anything. I was so very convincing as Sebastian Blackwood. I have become Sebastian Blackwood.
To reward your natural 20, you find in a hidden compartment in a drawer a diary. And it says Holdsworth on the front.
Holdsworth's diary.
Holdsworth's diary.
Shotgun! Cool, grabs it and starts reading it. Oh, wow. This is juicy, guys.
Oh, naughty Holdsworth.
He's in love with her.
What?
Holdsworth is.
Yeah.
And he's been coming up to the guest room to diary about it.
And then leaving it here and for us to find.
Fool.
He's totally obsessed, guys.
Maybe he wanted us to find it.
Maybe. Gosh, the intrigue already.
Well, he's clearly far too low status to be allowed to.
Yes, we should keep a close eye on this man, for he may attempt to sabotage our plans marry her off. Shall we use the ball as a chance to meet potential suitors? Is that our plan?
Yes.
We must find a good suitor so that it's a good match.
Yes.
In order to get the Archdevil on our side, right?
Yeah.
I'm not very good in those environments. I don't really know how to be proper. Do you know what I mean?
Well, we must learn etiquette.
I shall teach you the finer points of etiquette.
Okay. What's the rule one?
Well, there's no time like the present. Let's begin.
So, Paul is there. Just be like, why aren't you sleeping? literally got a bed.
That's true. When's the last time we slept in a bed?
It's gone to our heads. Yeah. Are there snacks? Is there a mini bar?
Yeah, there's a little bitty, but it's like blood and like vomit and stuff.
Okay.
What? Vomit?
So you're in hell, man. It's like
vomit
stuff.
In the middle.
It's
devil place. Like any mini bar, I suppose.
Well, that's like a nice thing. You know, it's, I don't know, blood of frostworm.
Blood of frostworm.
I
want to
try some blood of frostworm.
Yeah, okay, you can have some blood of frostworm. You lose a soul life. No, I'm kidding,
Oh my god!
End of Glubrick.
I was like, oh my god.
You were killed by the minibar. That's what happened.
Oh my god!
I open the minibar next to my bed and I take out my notepad and I itemize everything that's in the minibar.
Guys?
Yes, school, what is it?
Even though I do obviously give off a very highbrow air, it might surprise some of you to know that I've never been to a ball.
Oh. Well, I will help all of you with matters of etiquette. We used to throw many balls in the tower back in my day, and I have thrown a ball or two myself with the dead.
Balls only attended by the dead.
Dead balls.
Yeah.
They were called.
Yes, I remember hearing about them.
You, probably having lived in the woods for so long, Henley, may have forgotten some of the finer points of city living. But I shall help you in the morning.
Okay, in the morning. Well, sweet dreams, everybody.
Yes. Sleep tight.
Sleep well.
Good night, all.
Ghoul just hops up onto the end of Henley's bed and falls asleep.
Oh, you got your own bed, but you want to sleep
on.
Yeah,
he just
yeah.
secretly in the night, I think, just
in the
he
night.
He got work. Lonely.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
I come over and I just get like a little flannel and I put it over you.
You curl up in the bed as well as the dog.
I curl up at the end and I go, sleep my best friends. You gotta sleep my best friends. Everybody knows you gotta sleep.
Mate, can you shut the fuck up? I'm trying to sleep.
Right, sorry.
What's go? And then he rolls over.
My
well. Good night, everybody. I hope I don't die in my sleep.
Henley.
So it's an uneventful sleep for everyone except for Henley. Henley.
Yes.
You toss and turn, and you have strange dreams. And you hear the deep chuckle of a devil ringing in the distance. A laugh, yeah. And something darts across your vision. Eventually, you manage to zero in on this, and you see the horrifying image of a hollowed-out hare in your dreams. Its skin is flaccid and flailing about, and you feel something squeeze your hands tight. And you jump awake.
I needed something for my handsies!
And you look down and you see that your hair skin gloves are gripping tight around your hand. And you have a vision of Asmodeus's face right in front of yours. And it says,
"This is going to be fun, little puppet."
Oh, what?
As you wake up, you feel refreshed. As if you have slept the best you could have ever slept in your whole life.
Oh my God.
You feel rejuvenated, revitalized. You feel at peace. As if the wild forces of chaos have left you. You feel as if you are whole again. You feel your head and your devil horns are no longer there. Your tail is gone. No, just Henley.
Okay.
Just Henley.
Trying to piggyback.
Sorry. You mean me too?
Straight away, Ghoul just sees this as an opportunity to steal more souls.
And you now have all three of your soul lives back.
Wow.
Asmodeus has granted you your soul back.
This can't be good.
You have the devil's idle hands.
Okay, so I got all my soul eyes back. Does that mean I no longer have the wild magic on natural ones?
Yes, so the wild magic table is no longer a thing for you, all right? But every time you roll a natural one, Asmodeus is going to take control of your hands.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What?
He's going to take for how long?
For whatever action it is that you're trying to do.
Oh, so literally anything I do, he could take over and
he
do whatever he wants.
He could take control if you roll a natural one for any reason.
But
you can pick up Ghoul.
Yay!
That's good.
Every cloud.
Unless I roll a natural one, in which case Asmodeus takes over and squashes him.
And then just smashes him.
Ghoul. No. Yeah.
He can't touch me.
He can.
He can.
He proved that in the last episode.
I mean, metaphorically, he can't touch me.
He can.
I think he can.
You're screwed.
How did you guys sleep? Because I've had a fucking nightmare.
What? I slept like a baby.
Oh, good. Look, I'm back to full health.
What?
Full soul lives.
Where did your horns go? Where did your tail go?
Where's your tail
I'm
gone?
Not part of the tail gang anymore.
Oh, no, you're not. No,
what is it? Because I joined you. You decided it wasn't cool anymore or something?
No, that's not it, Ghoul. I just... there's been a whole thing with Asmodeus. Look, these gloves are now stuck on me, and basically, I'm a risk.
Ugh. Hello, morning.
Morning, Paul.
Good morning, Paul, acolyte of the dead.
Morning, Mr. Sanguinius.
Paul, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
It's a personal question, but I think we're on that level. How did you die?
Hit by horse.
Whoa.
Hit by a horse, like a runaway horse or like in a fight?
Like they put out a hit on you?
It was a hit and run.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Guy comes down village roadway with horse, runs me over, drives off.
It was an assassin.
Yes.
Very,
very nice.
What about your wife?
We were holding hands, trampled by horse.
Gosh. You. Big horse.
What had you done in your life to be so evil that you end up in hell, Paul?
Well, I checked the forms when I came in on Avernus. And,
forms? Yeah. There were no forms when we arrived.
You don't have the big book, the little the glasses.
Oh,
no,
that.
Yeah,
a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was wearing glasses like a fucking nerd.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, actually, to be honest.
But what did it say in your book, Paul?
Just
your
said necromancy.
Necromancy is not in itself evil.
Maybe I'd made a bunch of skeletons to rob a bank.
Ah, well, you only have yourself to blame for that, Paul.
That's true.
Paul, in our journey, we have all had to look deep into ourselves and discover what it is to be evil or not to be evil.
That's the question.
Nice!
James! James! Fucking James! You can't talk now, Kubrick. Oh, fuck it!
He said his name.
Yes,
and just like that, it's over.
That was so genuine.
Damn it!
Sorry, the rules of Jinx and shotgun do exist in hell.
Yeah.
So as you say that, the door opens and Holdsworth comes in and he just says, here is the order of service for the ball.
Ah.
And hands Eric a scroll. And on the order of service, it just says, arrival, grand entrance, dance and court, closing dance, private audience.
Ooh.
What's a private audience?
Private audience with Lady Sub-Zero Susan. If you find a suitable match, they will have a private audience.
I see.
What's your opinion? Just wondering what your opinion on finding her a match would be.
Lady Sub-Zero Susan is quite simply the most refined example of ladyship I have ever seen in all of the Nine Hells. She has a most graceful countenance.
I think you might have misplaced this. And Ghoul just hands the diary back to him.
Oh, you found... Thank you. And he tucks it away in his pocket.
Oh, is it yours? We don't know what it is.
Lost property.
I must thank you. Seeing as we're being honest with each other.
Yes.
I know you are the happy boys.
What?
How do you know that?
What?
Because I know Sebastian Blackwood.
Not anymore, you don't.
He's Black Mist right now.
He's dead now. How close were you with him?
Not very. Good. But I cannot stand to see the Lady Sub-Zero embarrassed.
Mm. Oh,
she will not be embarrassed.
Tell me, Holdsworth, who do you think would be the right match for Lady Sub-Zero Susan?
There are several people that will be attending the ball. I've made a list of those who I think will be the most appropriate for you. Obviously, they would have to be of high enough rank and station.
Well, obviously.
So someone like myself, for example, would be out of the running. Of course.
Oh. Sad.
Extremely, but not really.
Wait, can I just check? Very kind of you to not let the cat out of the bag, so to speak.
And very kind of you to not let my cat out of the bag.
Ah, yes.
And he pats his breast pocket with the diary in it.
I see.
There it is. There was a bag in the corner of the cabin.
I also do have a bag full of cats, but that's for another time.
But I just wanted to ask, what do you think would happen if the lady found out who we were?
I imagine she would eviscerate you on the spot.
Okay, let's not do that.
She does not like to be lied to.
No. I am Sebastian Blackwood. It's going to be fine.
Yes. Now, there are a few things we need to take care of. First of all, I will give you the list of those attending the ball, and these are the people who I think are the most suitable. And you may want to write these down.
Paul, get the scroll.
Paul's just like, yeah, and he's standing next to Eric with quill and ink.
Nice.
Just for house business, some of these names are people that you would have heard of before, and some are inspired by real names, not actual real names, but real names from our Patreon list.
Oh, very exciting.
So the first is Captain Dan Van Dalen. Captain Dan Van Dalen is the captain of the Northern Fleets on the River Styx.
Okay.
The second is High Constable Celeste Chiller.
What's their occupation?
She is a High Constable.
Right, yes. that's not just the name. Right, okay.
Yes. The Lady Cutesy McJingles.
Oh, no.
Hang on, who's that?
Is that,
that
a,
means
is,
something.
Is that relevant? Or
could be a relative.
I mean, Tootsie McJingles.
Yes, she is the late Tootsie McJingles' wife.
Oh my god.
I should maybe steer clear
of
Lady
Cutesie.
She is the heir to the McJingles dynasty.
There's a dynasty?
Yes. A lady. She was a lady of supreme skill on the dance floor.
Is she as annoying as her husband?
Annoying? No. The Lady McJingles is incredibly charismatic.
Oh, well. Well, we must not judge them by their siblings.
Yeah, true.
Oh, no, they're not brother and sister. They're husband and wife.
Oh.
Well, they were before he tragically passed.
I wonder how.
This is so tragic.
It's sad.
Yeah.
And the final guest of note, this is what I like to call a bit of wild card. Yeah. Not much is known about her at all. It is new Archdevil Thunden Earthrunner.
What? Oh my god.
Very little is known about her other than she is the new Archdevil of Mineros, and she is apparently here for political reasons.
You mean she's going to be here at the ball tonight?
Oh. Yes, Thunden Earthrunner will be at the ball, correct.
What?
I immediately faint.
I immediately catch you. Can I catch him?
Yeah, roll me an athletics check.
Two.
Two. Yeah, you drop him.
No, yeah.
Okay, I get one of the duvets and start trying to fan Eric.
Is everything all right with your companion?
Oh, yes, fine. He just did a bit of a shock.
excuse me. I stagger to my feet.
You all right, mate?
Yes. Yes, quite right. After all, I don't know her at all.
No.
Nicely covered, Eric.
Roll a deception check with disadvantage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just bad. Just low.
Bad low. Holdsworth sort of eyes you, but he's a man of etiquette. Like, he doesn't want to upset you, so he just kind of inclines his head.
I incline my head, but at the same angle, because we both have etiquette.
Yeah, very respectful.
An etiquette.
And he's like, ah, I see you have been trained in the ways of Mirrorhead.
I spent many years studying Mirrorhead when I was a child.
Ah, very good. Who was your tutor, if you don't mind my asking?
Lord Fosbury.
Ah, Fosbury!
Yes, Fozzer was one of the great exponents of Mirrorhead.
Have you read his Mirrorhead pamphlet, Mirrors, Mirrors, Me, You, We're in the Same Mirror?
Read it. I wrote the foreword to the third edition.
My word. You wrote the foreword to the third edition.
I did.
I could talk about Mirrorhead all day, but we must press on.
We should press on, yes. But I look forward to discussing finer points of etiquette with you later.
Oh.
I bloody love etiquette.
No, there will be other people at the ball, but these are the four that I deem the most worthy to take Lady Susan's hand. You are aware of ball etiquette and the running order of the ball?
A little refresher wouldn't go amiss.
Very well. You will be in charge of designing and executing the grand entrance.
Oops.
Lady Susan herself.
Is it just walking in? You actually, it's an actual event.
It's just walking into the
walking in. Glubrick.
Glubrick.
Was it that stupid?
One does not just walk into a ball.
Do you float?
Glubrick.
You could float, yes. You should float.
No, you're on the right path. No, yes.
Okay. We get like a skateboard.
No, we'll float her in on a bed of swans.
Yes,
this is good.
And confetti cannons.
Okay,
you must excuse our companion. He is but a common, simple barbarian who often pretends that he is a dog.
Very well, do keep a tight leash on him.
Very drone.
I incline my head at 32 degrees.
he inclines his head at 33 and just goes, oh, and goes back to 31.
I shall say no. We shall not breathe a word of this again.
My deepest apologies, I'm flustered. then we have dancing and courting.
Indeed, we
there
must learn to dance.
There will be four dances. Presumably you are familiar with them, or...
Which dances did you have in mind?
The Enchanted Waltz of the Forest Fairies, the Devil's Tango, Satan's Samba, and the Asmodean Smooth.
We're expected to do those dances, aren't we?
Each of you will be expected to do one of the dances, yes.
Right.
I assume you will need training in how to dance.
We might need a refresher. A little refresher course.
Yes, I believe that wise.
During the dances, the rest of you will have an opportunity to court and speak to other guests at the ball.
Oh, Thundun, Thundun, be still my heart.
Everything all right, Master Sanguinius?
Yes.
I move my shoulders back. Can I incline my head to a 12-degree angle?
He turns his feet out to first position. After dancing and courting, there will be the closing dance, which is a group number with everyone at the ball, and then there will be the private audience with Lady Susan.
I see.
So our duty will be to find which of these four suitors is the most viable for Lady Susan, and then ensure that that match happens. Through the dance.
Very good.
We set them up.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
And really well worded.
I think we can do this. Mm. I know we can do this.
So what you can do now is you can either learn to dance, you can go and see Lady Sub-Zero Susan and set up her grand entrance.
Yeah.
You can learn more about the guests at the ball.
Anyone who can't dance should quickly learn.
Mm.
I am, of course, well-versed in the moves of the body.
What, so you know all of the dances off by heart?
Like the back of my hand. But I shrugged off that life and left it behind me. But the dance never leaves you.
I have no doubt that you should be dance captain.
Indeed, of course. And I shall lead you all in a galliard, or perhaps... A Pavan.
My friend. I'm just impressed at how much Henry Shields.
I know, you know,
you're absolutely nailing this. Yeah.
We all went to drama school. We all took historical dance.
I was
paying attention.
Yeah. Okay, well, because you paid attention at drama school, you could have advantage on your checks.
Yay.
Well, some advantage for doing it for all those years.
Yeah,
I've never used it in a job. So.
Yeah, I'm totally buying into the Headley
God,
notice.
This is happening. This is the first time in my entire career historical dance has been yeah. worth something.
And it's not even physically being realized. Yeah.
Come on, everyone. Gathering peas cards. Yes. And a one, two, three.
My friends,
I must share with you my urgency of this situation. Holdsworth is gone, right?
No, he's still there.
Then I say nothing.
Holdsworth is like, I consense when it's time to leave. Good day!
Good day,
good day.
Holdsworth. Dear friends, Thundun. Thundun is here.
Eric, how do you feel?
I'm a quivering wreck. I will see her. I will see her again.
You will, Eric, but remember, we must set one of these people up with the archdevil Lady Sub-Zero Susan, and the thing is, we must pick the best match for her. And we have options.
We
do, but those others might be a bunch of assholes, and we know that Thundun is a beautiful, intelligent, wonderful creature.
So beautiful.
This is very, very beautiful. But we can't just insist that we marry her off to a devil.
If that is the best option, Eric, then it is the one we must choose. Let us see. But perhaps you're right. Perhaps one of these other folk will turn out to be even more impressive than Thundun.
Very well. Henley, teach us what you know.
Ah, we begin with the tarantelle. A dance so named after the tarantula because you use your feet like a spider.
Oh, wow. Aren't you scared of spiders?
I'm scared of everything, Ghoul, including you. I spend every moment on the verge of panic. I have a phobia of dancing. Let's begin.
So I love that I gave you the four dances and you've just picked one that isn't one of them.
Yeah, no, he's doing all the dances.
We've got to start somewhere.
We begin with the tarantelle.
So there is a ballroom. There is a, like, you can go into the ballroom or the dining hall or the courtyard. You can go wherever you want.
To the ballroom.
Yeah, so you guys traipse down to the ballroom.
And now I am back in being Sebastian Blackwood.
As you move around.
Do you want me to carry you?
Yes, please.
Glibrick. And I lift you up.
Great, roll me an athletics check.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, that's another thing that you could kill me at any moment.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting about my natural one.
What'd you get?
13.
You pick him up, but you don't get very far. You get sort of like halfway down the corridor and you have to put him down.
Oh, sorry, I just didn't sleep very well.
Oh, that's all right, Glibrick. Are you okay?
Yeah, no, it was fine. You were tossing and turning.
Oh, yes. No, I'm afraid I'm not a tail brother anymore.
But I am!
I can't touch you, Ghoul.
Oh, gosh!
You could touch tails.
Do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to let you touch tails.
Oh, yeah!
Okay, I feel like you're going to about to just suddenly flip this.
No, I'm going to let you touch tails.
Okay, my tail touches
it. Glibrick loses his whole life. No, you can touch tails. You can touch tails.
Oh, right! Oh, my God, Henley, you're replaceable!
Oh.
Yes, Henley takes the corner of his towel, wipes a little tear away from his eye, and goes into the ballroom.
Okay, we're in the ballroom.
Great, so you guys enter the ballroom, and it's a sort of grand hall with towering ceilings and very opulent decor. There are crystal ice chandeliers and a dazzling array of lights, and this is, you know, it's not even in full swing. This is just like when the theatre working lights are on. This is, the ballroom is just like that, and it's still one of the most impressive rooms you've ever seen.
Very impressive, very impressive.
And quick dance lessons begin.
Great. So I'm going to say, Henley, so you know the Enchanted Waltz of the Forest Fairies.
Mm.
That is a dance of poise and grace, and the dancers have to glide gracefully across the ballroom, and they are accompanied by a sort of ethereal melody of the Frost Fairies.
I don't know if that's the one for me there.
During the dance, you will have to roll two acrobatics checks to see how graceful you are.
Okay.
And in every dance, there will be what I'm calling a player action, all right? Which means the player, you can choose anything from the list that you want to do as long as you can justify it to impress people during the dance.
Okay.
So if you want to roll like an investigation check and you can justify it, you can.
I think I shall take the Waltz of the Forest. It seems to be perfectly suited to me, being a forest dweller.
Very well.
Okay. Is there one to do with, I don't know, like clobbering something? Like hitting, pounding something quite hard?
Maybe the tango is a fiery one, Glibrick?
It is indeed the tango, yes.
Yeah, I can be quite fiery.
So the devil's tango is a dance of sexual heat and power.
I'm incredibly sexy.
You engage in a fiery... You're incredibly sexy. You engage in a fiery, passionate tango. And you'll have to do athletics checks.
Oh, great. Wow. I'm kind of an athletic boy.
I feel like you could do that in a rage and it would be quite good.
I do not want to go anywhere near a rage there, Gull.
Not in the middle of a...
No, but at the moment, I can't control the rage. So if I'm dancing with someone and suddenly I go into a rage, I might snap them in half, use them as a toothpick, smoke them through a brick. I might do anything. No one knows. Stop panicking.
Smoke them through a brick.
Is there a dance that requires a lot of history?
So the Asmodean Smooth.
Yes.
Ooh.
The dancers twirl and whirl underneath starlight is the idea.
Arcana. Now, is it?
This is an improvised dance where one does not need to be nimble of foot, but nimble of the mind.
Okay, Eric.
One must attune to their partner and work with what they are giving you, and it is insight checks.
Oh, wow.
Very good.
I'll take this one then.
Smooth. Smooth, Eric.
And finally, for, I assume Ghoul is taking Satan's Samba.
Yes.
So the Satan Samba is a dance of charm and intrigue.
Mm.
The dancers move fluidly in and out of each other, always keeping eyes on their partner as they attempt to lose each other in the crowd and find each other again.
Oh, that's perfect for you because you're tiny.
Very good.
The dance was made famous by the fact that no one touches each other.
Ah, very good.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right.
And so you must roll survival checks.
And if
plus
you,
player
fail at that dance, you kill your partner.
Touch them and they take huge amounts of damage.
So, do we choose our partners, or do we just, is it, you know, we'll meet them at the time?
Dave's going to pop in the game again.
Oh, hey, okay.
Hi, Nate. So the idea
I'm
is
I'm a mountain.
No.
Good callback for the last episode.
Really good for those that care. Now, so the idea here is that there are four dances, and do you remember those names from earlier?
Mm-hmm.
There are kind of four...
I didn't write them down.
No, but somebody did, and that's good. Mm-hmm. There are kind of four people that are well-suited to Lady Sub-Zero Susan.
Oh!
And there are four dances. Okay, bye!
Be dancing with nice!
Eric, Gluebrick's talking to himself again.
Yeah, what is that? It's real weird.
And I look over, and I'm just like... You don't know what I'm saying.
Gluebrick's metagaming.
Dave is Gluebrick's imaginary friend.
Yeah. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah, that's true. So I tell you what, why don't we do some checks now?
Let's
to see
do
how
it.
Good you guys are.
Yeah, can right. I, if but I teach them well, give people advantage or something?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you roll the same checks as everyone as you're teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start with just Henley. So it's just you teaching yourself.
Yes.
So roll me.
Come on, Henley, you remember the ones.
You've got, already got advantage, acrobatics check.
Yeah.
It's a nine.
A nine.
That's bad.
Henry and Henley have embarrassed themselves in front of you guys.
This is what the practice room's for. This is where we make mistakes.
Yes. Stop looking at me!
We all learn from our mistakes.
Yes. What does that mean then?
When you get to perform in the ball, you will no longer have advantage.
Ah, shoot. I killed my advantage.
Yeah.
What I already had
us?
Advantage. I could have done nothing.
And now
had
you could have done nothing.
What about
I kept
us?
It. So let's go to the Devil's Tango, which is Gluebrick.
Gluebrick.
Roll me an athletic
Gluebrick,
check.
Gluebrick, you're up. Come on, let's see what you've got. Okie dokie. And I just gyrate in silence.
And Henley, can you roll an athletic check as well? Because you're teaching Gluebrick.
Yes, and that is a 17.
17. Okay.
And I got 22.
22, wow. Good. Yeah, so you really, it's really very, very impressive.
It's very high sex.
Yeah.
Yes, me and Gluebrick perform a very, very
sexual number.
Yeah, very charged sexual number with each other.
Your muscles are like.
We draw together. Yeah, your muscles are all out. You're glistening and I pull together at the last second and I say, Gluebrick.
Yes.
You know when you've been tangoed.
Yeah, nice. So now you going into the dance, you will have advantage.
Well,
one of your checks, and you can choose which one it is. Henley, who would you like to teach?
Let's move to the samba.
Okay, both of you roll me survival checks.
Okay.
So you got to lose each other in the crowd is the idea of this one.
So it's basically hide and seek, but as a dance.
Yeah, essentially. Nice. But everyone's kind of moving around and you're trying to like lose your partner using other partners as cover.
Wow.
Is the idea.
25.
10. No, that's good. So actually, Ghoul is a natural.
Ghoul is a natural,
but Henley's not a great teacher.
Yeah.
Ghoul ducks and dives, and then Henley is stood in the middle of the dance floor looking around, and then Ghoul just pops up behind him.
Ah! The teacher becomes the teachee!
Not at all.
Nope. The teachee. Wait, I can hear him too.
So now you all have advantage on one of your checks as well for your dance. And finally,
taught him everything he knows.
Teaching then, Eric, the Asmodian smooth.
Eric?
Yes?
Are you ready?
I am ready.
But if you roll me an insight check.
Get smooth with me. 17.
19.
Yeah, you very both, like, good. Yeah, Henley's very good at the Asmodian smooth. And yeah, you guys glide and improvise around the dance floor and anticipate each other's movements with your insight.
Henley's moving, improvising, throwing shapes, voguing, doing all the different moves. He does
serving.
The worm, he does...
Henley
yeah.
is wow. serving.
Henley is serving smooth on a plate.
Nice. And that means Eric will have an advantage on one of his checks during the dance.
Well, you really are a marvellous teacher, Henley.
Thank you, Eric. And so through all of this teaching, all I've managed to do is give everyone else advantage and remove my own.
Yeah. You've exhausted yourself.
I have exhausted myself.
You've poured everything. It's everybody else.
The dance has left me. Now we need to prepare an entrance for Lady Sub-Zero Susan.
Yes, and it must be utterly breathtakingly beautiful.
How many swans do we have?
Well,
let me look in my bag. I have a crab.
Yes, we have one crab.
One crab.
I can cast Moonbeam.
Magic. We should use our magical abilities.
Yeah, definitely.
We?
She could ride me as a doggin.
A doggin.
It was confusing.
A doggin, toboggan.
Dog in. You'd ride me as a dog in.
Yeah.
But it's like a toboggan.
I don't know if there's a combo that should be in there.
Doggin toboggan is what we're going to go with. Glubrick is going to be a living toboggan dog. Yeah. In dog costume, he's going to slide her in.
I could do that. That's an option if we don't.
Down an ice. Yeah, because it's ice, isn't it? We'll make a toboggan run out of the ice. We'll slide her down on the back of Glubrick. A doggin toboggan.
Go over to one of the windows, Dave. Are the curtains drawn?
Are the curtains drawn, Dave? Are the curtains drawn?
See, Dave.
Ice expanse. Where are you looking?
I'm just seeing if there's any swans or anything out there.
Like, any what's swans there? In hell? No.
Where are the swans, Dave?
No, there are no swans.
We have zero swans.
Where this are the swans?
Leave the swans to me.
Ooh, very mysterious.
Okay, I'm excited for this entrance now.
Okay, well, I can cast Moonbeam.
Great, Moonbeam is impressive.
It's
damage
a silvery
causing,
beam of light that shines down.
Is it hot? Might melt the
it
whole
will
thing.
Hurt it damages, anyone who's in it.
Yeah, but it's a damage.
Yeah, spot. But it's not going to damage the ice in it.
Oh, no, as long as we're not putting them in it like a spotlight.
No, they will be in it.
Then they'll
take damage.
Holdsworth comes in. Have you finished the dance lessons?
Oh, we've had excellent preparation. May I ask you a question, Holdsworth? Where will she make her entrance from?
Well, that is up to you. I mean, there is the grand foyer, there is the ballroom in which you are now, and there's like a big catwalk above you, and there's like a huge grand staircase. Mm. And saying, Lady Sub-Zero Susan is currently relaxing in the throne room. Would you like to involve her in the plans at all?
Oh, it should be a surprise for her. She's just going to go through it.
She does love surprises. Yes.
Oh, she does.
Use your moonbeam.
Yes.
Like a laser to cut a toboggan run up the grand staircase.
Yes.
Like blasting through the ice as it goes.
Just before she goes.
And then she'll slide down it.
On her doggan.
Which is me.
Yeah. Excellent. Yes. I think we're ready.
We're ready.
Ready. Nice.
We don't need to warn her.
She will just go through it.
Okay.
It'll happen to her.
Yes. Yeah. She will endure our entrance.
And as you guys make your way back following Holdsworth back to your quarters, Paul pulls Eric to one side.
Oh, yes.
And she's like, I forgot to mention, which you should have done before. Before we went to bed last night.
Yes, what have you forgotten to mention?
I was down, wasn't I? Because Ghoul touched me. And I forgot about that. And then so I fell asleep and recovered fully. Just to tie that up narratively.
Oh, yes. No, you were unconscious. We dragged you to the room unconscious.
Oh, yeah. You dragged me unconscious because Ghoul touched me.
I mean,
and then we had a long rest.
Forgot about it.
Yeah, we all forgot about it. And you all follow Holdsworth back into the room. Now,
right.
As you walk into the room, you find at the end of all of your beds some lavish embroidered dresswear. with a note from Holdsworth that reads, whilst you may act the part well, it's time to look the part.
Aww.
What I'd like to do now is to have a fashion montage.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So what I want is like you guys to be sat on like a sofa and then set of curtains, and then you guys get to describe what you're wearing, Holdsworth has got you.
Okay.
And, you know, we will have the montage where like the curtain opens and everyone's shaking their head or they're nodding.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give you some like buffs from your outfits in nice. A bit. But what you look like is entirely up to you.
Great.
Okay, I've got it. Ghoul is wearing a jester's hat, one of those ones which there's four curly points that come off it and then like bells
nice.
On the ends, and wooden clogs.
one clog.
One big clog with embroidered with like a mushroom signet or something.
Nice.
Beautiful.
And a gold chain.
Say gold yes chain. To the dress, sister. Oh, very nice, Ghoul.
Yeah, thanks.
So Ghoul throws back the curtain, bounces out.
Mushroom! Work!
And cool. The rest of the Happy Boys, do we approve?
Oh, absolutely. That's great.
Yeah,
am I serving shroom?
Serving shroom on a plate.
The look you seem to be going for is Dutch wrap.
Yeah, that is what I'm going for.
Well, you've mastered this.
Wonderful.
Gone for Dutch wrap. Who's next?
Very nice.
Henley's wearing a tricorn hat with a giant owl feather in it.
Nice.
And red and brown leather armor, tightly fitting down to the waist. It's all very shiny. And then from the waist down, a towel like no other, with gold trim and embroidered with Henley's own face.
A towel embroidered with Henley's face.
Yes, exactly. And nice. On his feet, little plimsolls for dance.
Nice,
yeah. And you throw back the curtain, you strut out. And do the Happy Boys prove?
Oh,
10 out of 10, excellent. Henley.
Thank you.
20 out of 10, I think.
That's a
10 lead for Henley.
Oh. All right, who's next?
So Gluebrick suddenly storms out, ripping down the curtains, looks amazing. And he's wearing like, it's all red with some yellow, hints of yellow, like it's all fiery.
Ooh.
And it, what would you call it? Like material that's kind of flaps off.
Like chiffon.
Yeah, no. Chiffon. It's very chiffon.
What else?
And just as a little hint to the fact that he is a dog, he's got little kind of paw shoes on, and his tail's poking out of a little hole, and he's painted it red, and he's got his white fronts on the outside of his trousers just to bring a bit of sex to it.
A bit of superhero to it.
A bit of superhero sex to it.
Yeah.
And he's put jam in his hair,
yeah.
So it's really sparkly and shiny.
Oh.
And he's like got big pupils because he's slightly high off the smell of it. He's like, oh, how do you think I look? Do you think I look really good? I'm not high.
Very good, Gluebrick.
Fiery.
Yes, hot, hot, hot. Watch out for ants with that jam.
And are the Happy Boys proving?
Yeah,
of
it's great.
Gluebrick.
Very good. I've just thrown this together. A simple dark purple chemise with a high collar, a waistcoat. Brass cutaways, breeches cinched to the waist. Upon the feet, low boots, deerskin with a leather sole, a small buckle in the northern style. A fur trim, a peacock feather. One is a gentleman, not a zealot.
I wish those listeners could see the glee in Adam's eyes describing this outfit.
A single glove, just one, upon the left hand, as is traditional in the East.
Oh my gosh.
And a single chain, elegantly attached between the fourth button and the lower breast pocket. A kerchief. I do not know that much more is needed.
Wow.
Perhaps all that is required is simply the gumption to pull it all off.
Eric's got the gumption to pull it off.
Amazing.
Eric, yeah, the ghoul stands up and
crying,
starts applauding.
Yeah, beautiful. Me too. Yeah, nice. I think Henley does. Round of applause from the Happy Boys.
As you stand there, Eric, Paul steps out from behind the curtain in a very, very simple black suit, all black, black tie, black shirt.
Oh shit, we should check the invite. Is it black tie? We fuck this.
Being of lower station, Paul has much less. And just on the breast pocket, embroidered in sort of like purple diamonds, it just says Sanguinius.
Oh,
And wow. He's your sort of like aide.
Oh my gosh.
Paul, that is understated and excellent.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to go for something a bit more, you know, garish, but Holdsworth said this is what I should dress like.
It would quite give away our disguise, but it's so beautiful that it doesn't even matter.
You are all supposed to be servants of Sebastian Blackwood.
Oh, yeah, I don't know, but I'm
I walk up to him and I rip the pocket off.
And on your bureau, there's a, I don't know, sort of like a dressing bureau in your room, you find four items, and you may choose one of these.
Ooh.
Okay. There is a set of elegant masquerade masks, two mm-hmm. of them. There is a what looks like a lipstick, a brooch, and some shoes. And you may take one of these each. Again, another gift from Holdsworth.
Oh my gosh, okay.
I shall take the lipstick.
And shoes, did you say? Was that the last one?
Shoes.
Did Henley just say really quietly, I shall take the lipstick?
I shall take the lipstick.
I'm going to take one of the masks, because I think I'd like to be
you
concealed.
You can take there a pair, so you take both masks.
Oh, good. Well, Glubrick, which one would you like?
What do the shoes look like? They're better than my paws?
They're better than your paws. Yes.
You don't even have to think about that. No, I'll take the shoes. Is that okay?
I shall have the brooch.
Paul, I'm afraid there's nothing for you. Looks like you're a little out of pocket. Henley's getting into character as Sebastian Black. Yeah, yeah.
What you have is you have the silver lip. So this is a lipstick, right, that contains a shimmering blue-silver liquid that sparkles with a sort of magical energy. And when you apply it before engaging in sort of conversation or public speaking, you are imbued with silver-tongued eloquence.
Ooh.
So you have advantage on persuasion and performance checks.
Great.
Whilst you're wearing the lipstick.
That's very good.
Very good.
Ghoul has a little brooch.
What's it look like?
This is called Broach the Subject. And
nice.
It's just a little gleaming crystal on a little brooch. And it exudes a comforting light. And when worn, you present a radiant aura around you.
Yes.
And you may cast, at will, the Zone of Truth spell.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Which will be a DC 17 charisma save. Now, there's a slightly different thing with this spell. You can only target, it's not a cone. You can target one person at a time.
Okay.
And the difference with this one is usually they know that the spell is being cast on them, so they can avoid the question. But with this one, they just don't know.
Oh, great.
So they'll just start speaking the truth whilst you keep the spell on them. But they don't know that it's happening.
Okay. Ghoul immediately casts a spell on Glubrick. Who's your favorite happy boy?
So you have to charisma. Give me a charisma saving throw.
Wait.
Glubrick does.
Glubrick does, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, 21, mate.
21, yeah, okay. You pass. Shit. So you can choose to say what you want.
You go.
It worked.
and Glubrick, you have the shoes of dancing.
Oh, easy.
These are elegant shoes adorned with intricate designs and magical runes. When worn, they imbue you with an enhanced agility and grace, allowing you to perform intricate dance moves with ease and finesse. So while wearing these, you get advantage on acrobatics checks.
Oh, nice.
And you move more gracefully. Additionally, once per day, I don't know if I want to give this to you, once per day, you can cast levitate on yourself. So you can levitate gracefully above the ground for a minute.
How far can I go?
You can't fly, but you can rise vertically up to 20 feet in the air for up to a minute.
That's amazing.
We can then push you around like a balloon.
Very cool.
That's very cool. Mm. I love them. Much better than the paws.
Where did the
pause
come
from? I thought you were pausing. Oh, well, you thought I'd declare my own pause.
Much better than the pause.
I thought you were doing a gag.
That's so complicated. Much better than the pause. The pause.
And finally, Eric has some elegant masquerade masks.
Yes.
So these are a pair of intricately crafted masks, again, adorned with sort of enchanted gems, and they shimmer with a subtle magical glow. Now, when you are wearing these masks during social gatherings or diplomatic negotiations,
mm-hmm.
the masks give you an aura of intrigue and mystery. They can be captivating and enigmatic. So you have advantage on either persuasion checks or deception checks, depending on which mask you're wearing.
Oh, that's great.
So you can switch masks.
Are the masks, do they hide who is wearing them completely, or could you tell who was wearing it?
It's like a half mask, so you can speak.
So you can't, but
yeah, you wouldn't
know who you're speaking to.
Unless they had like another distinguishing feature, yeah. So you guys are all stood in your room, you've got all your gear on, you're ready to go.
Not quite. I add a codpiece.
Eric. Oh, it's wonderful.
I knew there was something missing. Now I am ready.
You're quite generous to yourself with that codpiece.
The doors to your room fly open and Holdsworth is stood there and he takes in the happy boys, this absolute picture, and a little tear just rolls down his eye. Yes. And he just says, "You look magnificent."
Thank you.
Aww. Yeah, take a picture. Yeah. It'll last longer. I mean, really, could you take a picture, please? I would really like to remember this moment.
And Paul gets out an easel and some paints.
We've not had a family portrait together.
There it is.
Yes, a portrait.
We're all looking insane.
Yeah. 8 to 10 hours go by while he paints you. Do you all stand there and he paints a portrait of you all?
Perfect. Now we are ready for the ball. Would you care to follow me?
So we should get ahead and get in there ready to make the grand entrance.
Yeah, absolutely. So Holdsworth is just like, where do you need Lazy?
No, lazy
she's
Susan.
Not lazy. Yeah. She's not a chair.
Lazy Susan.
Where's
Lazy
Susan? Yeah.
On the top of the stairs, yes? She's going to come down
top
the stairs.
Yes.
So you're going to come to the top of the grand staircase.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm going to direct this.
Very well.
Eric, you shall take your place at the base of the stairs, ready to perform your magic.
Understood.
Ghoul, at the top of the staircase, ready to form the moonbeam that will carve the way.
Very good.
Lubric, lying on your face, Doggin style.
Doggin.
Whirf, whirf, whirf. Get ready to levitate.
Let us begin.
Great. So, Lubric, as you're up at the top of the stairs, Lady Susan just kind of approaches, and you can tell that she's quite nervous. She's sort of not really saying anything. She's just waiting for Holdsworth to announce her.
Are the guests in? Is it?
Yeah. So, as you, those of you that are not up at the top of the stairs, guests are being announced. Lavish crystals are hanging from the ceiling, and light is kind of dancing around. There are waiters handing out sort of hors d'oeuvres and small devilish trinkets of food and drink. There's music. It's the most magical ice ball you can imagine. And everyone just looks amazing. The snow is pristine clean, and all of these people are coming in like ice dresses and ice suits. Even the horrible pit fiends are looking actually elegant and amazing. And you hear the final guest
presenting Archdevil Thundum Earthrunner.
I put on my mask of deception so that I hide.
And you're hiding, and you see Thundum walks in, and she is on her own.
Of course, she always was.
Yeah. She
That's
steps out, and her carriage is a tree. It's like a huge tree.
Like a limousine is the trunk.
Yeah. And it's almost as if the dress is part of the tree. And as she steps off of the tree, it's all made of leaves and wood. And as she steps onto the ground, they all transform into like ice diamonds. Oh. And they kind of like shimmer down her.
And
as she walks through the entrance, the light hits her face and everything for Eric seems to just go into slow motion. And she just turns her head ever so slightly. You just catch the side of her face. Her eyes meet yours for like a second. They lock, and then she just carries on past and walks into the room. Holdsworth runs up and is like, "Are you ready? All the guests are here. It's time for Lady Susan's entrance."
Yes, of course, we're ready.
We're ready. All the lights go down. Henry's in the tech box.
Let me know when I need to announce her. Fucking hell, I'm nervous.
Spotlight on Holdsworth, go.
I'm
directing the little ice mephit that's controlling the lights.
Okay, great. And so Spotlight comes up on Holdsworth. He just goes...
Bad start. He should have cleared his throat before.
Yes, why didn't he clear his throat yesterday?
Black it out.
Bring the lights down, for God's sake.
Should I do it?
Sorry, I'm ready.
Lights up on Holdsworth.
Presenting Lady Sub-Zero Susan.
And dim lights start to rise.
Ghoul steps up to the staircase and casts Moonbeam. And a silvery beam of pale light shines up the staircase and carves a groove in the stairs.
And it's sort of like melting the stairs.
Smoothing
the stairs as it goes up. Great.
It's creating this perfect toboggan run. And then lights up top of the staircase. Dog toboggan.
Lubric and dog toboggan. Glubrick is lying on his front, but his head up proudly.
Lady Sub-Zero soon stood on your back.
Stood on my back, and I slowly, with my hands, just pull myself forwards, and I slide down, keeping my face up from the ice, but it's hurting. It's like shards of glass going into my, my neck and like cheeks, and I'm like...
Okay, roll me a constitution saving throw.
12.
It's not great. It's like juddering. You're juddering down the stairs. Lady Sub-Zero Susan is standing trying to sort of look as regal as possible.
Who's trying to just go over the bits that he's done before.
Yeah,
with the laser. With the...
Back and forth. Get the moonbeam out of the way. You're going to kill him.
Oh, whoops. All right. No, sorry.
Moonbeam off. And Lady Sub-Zero Susan slides down the dog and down to the end. And I signal to Eric.
Great. I cast Fabricate, which allows me to convert raw materials into products of the same material. So basically, as she slides down this ice staircase, it goes swan, swan, swan.
Ice swan.
Yeah.
I can do 8 5-foot cubes. Yeah. So I reckon I could just go. So it's like as she slides down, she makes the whole thing a series of swans.
Oh my god, that's so good.
Wow. That's a great entrance. Yeah. At the climax of the music, I levitate and bring her 12 foot into the air and slowly spin.
Henley's taken over the control booth and he's moving the sliders, he's turning lasers on, he's pointing everything at Lady Sub-Zero Susan, and we're raising her in multiple beams of glowing light.
Yeah,
great. And she's got a crystalline body and she's shooting out light
she's
all
a
over
big
the place.
Mirror ball.
And there is a huge round of applause. The crowd erupts with a huge cheer for Lady Susan. And Glubrick, you're close enough to hear her holding back tears, and she casts her eyes out and you hear her say, "Thank you."
And at that most dramatic moment, I bring the faders down for a full blackout.
Nice. Yeah, so you're landing the button on the whole sequence.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I've actually not got you to roll a check yet for anything. So can you roll me a sleight of hand check? I just want to see how good you are at controlling these lights.
Sure. For the big finale blackout.
Yeah, for the big blackout ending.
That is a natural one.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what happens now?
Does that mean the gloves?
That means that
you're not in charge of it.
Yeah. So you hear the voice of Asmodeus in your head.
No, I'm going to ruin the whole thing. We were doing so well.
And she thanked us.
Oh, my God.
She thanked you.
Okay.
And now you have the voice of Asmodeus in your head. You look down at your hands. The gloves grip tight and you no longer have control of your hands. And you hear the voice of Asmodeus ringing in your head. And he says,
"Now let's get this party started."
Thank you for listening to Hell or High Rollers. That was episode, 31. I am Dave Hearn, and I am your GM. Eric Sanguinius was played by the glorious Adam Megiddo. Ellie Morris was the wonderful Ghoul. Henry Shields as Henley Whispers, and the mighty Chris Leask as Glubrick Bumbledung. If you are enjoying this podcast, then head on over to our Patreon page, where you can find a whole bunch of extra shit. And by shit, I mean really good stuff. If you're offended by swearing, you've probably not listened this far into the podcast, but I just got excited about the Patreon. Get on over there and get yourself some extra bits. Henry Shields is running a side campaign. You get some DM notes from me. There's lots of cool stuff. And we are going to be trialing some new game systems in the future. So get on over there, get on the Discord, get chatting to the community. And while you're there, you can meet legends like Sid Sal, Ellen Stair, Sarah Troisi, Udenesmi. There's a joke in there somewhere. I'm missing it. Get back to me. Stephen Blanchard, Elliot Smith, John Nugent, A, B, C, D, E, F, Goose, Nathan, and Talia Nuddle. The show is produced by Gareth Tempest, and the theme song is by the wonderful Max Runham. Thank you very much for listening, and good night!
When you get thrown out layers of hell, you'll have a hell of a story to tell. You're heading back to life, back to the grind, but it ain't that like you knew so well. Keep telling myself to stay strong, you know I ain't done nothing wrong. I can feel it in my soul that this ain't where I belong.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.